This is a pre-recorded version of the WTKA Roundtable on WTKA, unsurprisingly, 9 o'clock Thursdays. It is recorded, however, so if you call in, no one will answer.
And we are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050 WTKA online at WTK.com. Sam Webb, Mr. Ira Weintraub on the other side, and MGo Blog Roundtable. We've had some interesting ones over our time together, my guys. This is a strange week because I don't think we're going to be talking much about the last game, right? It was an anticlimactic affair.
That is not fair. That is not fair. Oh my God, dude! I'm going through this defense right now, and like the game that these guys had, we're not even going to talk about it.
I'm reading the room, man. We could talk about it some, but all it's right. Like my point is, it's going to be a footnote. It's a footnote to the topic and the lecture at hand this week, and that is sign gate, as I've started to call it. But we can start off talking about the getting your takes on the 49-0 drubbing of the Spartans. First of all, welcome, Brian Cook. How are you this morning?
It was good. Let's talk about the signs.
Craig Ross, how are you this morning?
Okay. there are things about the game that were the most interesting to me is, one, it was really 56-0 because we lost a touchdown for no apparent reason at the end of the half, blown call. Two is next time we play in East Lansing, apparently I have to work on my Hitler trivia so that I can answer the
crazy town.
Answer those, which is one of the craziest things. And three, this is something I've never seen, a Michigan State player giving his fans the double bird during the game.
Oh, there were none of his
no
fans.
Michigan State fans there left.
Yeah, oh, maybe that was the answer.
It was all
it was empty. It was all Michigan
us.
Fans. That yeah. explains it to me. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Those are the three memorable things to me.
And so, and then, of course, Seth Fisher. So, Seth, your take on Michigan State. What's up?
First of all, I love taking over another team's stadium. It is so much fun. And, like, the, you know, celebrating with the players afterwards. But after, I haven't published it yet, but when we break down the game, we have this this extra piece called RPS, Rock, Paper, Scissors. Basically, how would all the coaches do? How well did you do at using the right play call against the play call that they had, right? And this was one of the biggest RPS blowouts that we have in the history of doing the defense. There's like 2017 against Minnesota where P.J. Fleck decided not to block Kalik Hudson for some reason. There's what are the other ones? There's Penn State last year where James Franklin just kind of, you know, got James Franklin. And there's like a bunch of times where we played against Brian Ferentz. Those are the ones that are comparable to the amount of times that Michigan had the right play call on against Michigan State. Now, I don't know how they did it, Sam, but I don't think they're doing it the way that they're saying they're doing it.
Well, Michigan State was getting their signals, but the quarterback talking to the coach, right? I don't think they could be stealing their signs when that was going on.
You look at some of their plays, so their offensive line play, they couldn't block basic plays. Mm-hmm. They didn't know to block the guy right in front of them. It was like they'd never run a split zone before. This is just a poorly coached team that clearly is playing out the string. That's how I saw it.
Yeah. Michigan prepared for this game. is the point I wanted to. Michigan, they knew what Michigan State likes to run. They knew how Michigan State likes to run it. They knew how to adjust to it. They had their players ready to play. And we've been, had we not had all this other crap going on, I think we'd be talking about how Michigan saved all this stuff for Michigan State. They really wanted to put a stamp on this game, and they did. And it was really cool to kind of finally get offline and stop being on Twitter and talk about that and look at that for a minute and remember what kind of team we have and how little that matters to the game actually going on in front of us.
Well, as you said, though, that is something we'd be talking about if the world as we know it wasn't going crazy over signs. And so, Brian Cook, as leaks go, as stories go, this to me is more thoroughly reported on than the FBI case in college basketball. I mean, there's something every day from a different. First, it was Yahoo. Then it was ESPN. Then it was SI, which I actually thought that was to me the most revelatory of all the pieces. And then, of course, the Washington Post yesterday detailing this plan and budget that was on a drive that they somehow got access to, their reaction to all of that.
Well, so the SI piece is interesting, right? Because you can look at that piece, and from the provenance of the piece, what's clear is that someone reached out to Richard Johnson, who wrote that article, who had been recruited by Stallions and offered up his text messages, mm-hmm. and then talked about Stallions and what he talked about. And that's the reason that article has the note about the 600-page manifesto, because it is not part of the orchestrated PR campaign that's currently being waged against Michigan, which the Washington Post article just told us about, right? The Post article is like, when they found this out, Ohio State, it's definitely Ohio State. There's no question about that. They hired a firm to do the most reputational damage possible to Michigan. And that's why we get this steady drip of stories, each of them having basically no impact on what we know, mm-hmm. and no impact on what is going to happen to Michigan.
Let me add something to this real quick to make emphasize your point. You have Ohio State writers, reporters, sites kind of forecasting, hey, something else is going to come out today. And then, boom, it happens.
Yeah. I mean, like, there's no question that this is orchestrated by someone on the Ohio State. Like, Bill Green had this a month ago. Like, he was the only person talking about this a month ago. Like, come on. Give me a break. But the Washington Post article makes some statements. But what it doesn't make anything clear. It's like, okay, people have access to this drive. And unless this firm is so gung-ho that they are going to take the proceeds of a hack, a computer crime, and take it to the NCAA, which I don't think is what happened, the most likely explanation for this is that one of Stallion's guys flipped to Ohio State, gave him access to a Google Drive or equivalent where he was asked to put the videos or whatever he was doing. And it's probably some sort of university supplied cloud drive. Mm-hmm. And whether or not Michigan staffers other than Stallions have access to that particular part of the cloud drive, whether the permissions are set, we don't know. And since Connor Stallion seems like an idiot, it's possible that those permissions were set so that anybody could see it. But then you would have to actually like go in to the folder created by the idiot and be like, oh yeah, I'm going to look at this stuff. That's not my job. So I just don't think that, given what we've heard from Michigan, given what we've heard from the insiders, given the fact that Connor Stallions is the kind of guy who writes a 600-page manifesto about Michigan athletics, given the fact that in 2017, he and his dad were on the sidelines of a road game, given the fact that Devin Gardner remembers him being at literally every single road game when he was at Michigan, and this guy was at the Navy Academy, you know, it's not a question of where the money is coming from. The money is coming from mom and dad. Like, every time you see one of these articles about how this guy bought a house in Manhattan when he was 25, there's a paragraph in it. And the paragraph is like, he got some help from his mom and dad with his down payment, which means mom and dad paid the down payment. And when you look at this guy's history, where he's driving back and forth, living in his car, buying a house and renting it out in Airbnb, where did the money from the house come? Mom and dad. Where did the money for these tickets come? Mom and dad. Mom and dad probably didn't know about it, but what Connor Stallions knows is that mom and dad are loaded, so I can shoot my shot as a 55K per year guy, try to climb the ranks, and if I screw it up, I have a fallback. So there's no real mystery what's happening here.
His 600-page manifesto about taking over Michigan football.
Right.
How like, delusional do you have to be for that to be your stated goal to other people?
You have to be pretty dang delusional. And I think what's going to happen is that it's going to come out that Connor Stallions was just doing this on his own. And he'll get a show cause, and Michigan will get a fine, and maybe there will be some punishment that trickles up to Jim Harbaugh. But given the fact that this bylaw was almost repealed 2 years ago because it provided a minimal competitive advantage, given the fact that Michigan is going to beat the brakes off Penn State and Ohio State without the supposed advantage, given the fact that they beat the brakes off Ohio State last year after they changed their signs, given the nature of the fact that they beat the brakes off of Ohio State in 2021 for throwing four passes in the second half and having Aiden Hutchinson beat CJ Stroud to death with his left tackle's arm, it doesn't matter. None of this is actually getting Michigan a competitive advantage. This is a game about blocking and tackling and predicting what other people are going to do. This was just one part of it. And it was only a small part of it because there are previous years where you've played these same coaches and same teams. There are previous games on television where you're getting signs from. The efficacy of a dubiously effective sign stealing program is not hugely enhanced by this. And if your signs got stolen, fundamentally, that is a you problem. That is not Michigan's problem.
How many times have I said
that? I mean, start at the beginning. First is that, one, it's not illegal to steal signs. Two, not only is it not illegal, it's encouraged. The NCAA encourages the stealing of signs. And how do you know that? Because in 1994, when the NFL went to mics and helmets, the NCAA did not. They had an easy solution to tell schools, if you want a mic in your helmet, have a mic in your helmet. They've never done that. And then, as Brian points out, 2 years ago, they decided, well, on-scene scouting provides a minimal advantage. They almost abrogated this rule. But they did say the reason for it was the quote minimal advantage it provided. So that's what you're talking about in the first place. And in 2021, I happen to know that Ohio State easily stole Michigan signs. How did they do it? Because every single play was, hey, diddle, diddle, Hassan Haskins up the middle, and they couldn't stop it. And so there, you know, this thing is silly. Now, is Michigan going to get cranked? Probably, because there is a rule that you're not allowed on-site scouting. Doesn't say who can't on-site scout.
They're not going to get cranked.
Well, I don't know.
They're just not. This is not going to happen.
Right.
You know, the NCAA had UNC dead to rights on academic fraud.
Right.
They had Kansas dead to rights on buying players.
Right, they still are.
They had Tennessee dead to rights on their head coach literally personally paying recruits and their families. Did any of those teams get a meaningful, you know, punishment? No. You know, the worst thing that happened to Tennessee is they lost some they had to pay a fine and they lost some scholarships, which is not a punishment in the NIL world. Like, that doesn't matter at all anymore.
It might require, though, some preemptive measures in the way that Tennessee's legislature intervened there and said, look, OK, we understand there's some punishment coming. But if you come in here talking about postseason ban, we are going to sue you.
Yeah.
And then the NCAA was like, OK, all right. Yeah.
So, and same thing with North Carolina. North Carolina went the legal route because the NCAA was going to come down on them and should have come down on them. They made up fake classes. North Carolina said, look, you're not going to win in court. Michigan probably can say the same thing. But the question is, will they? I think we all have.
Don't be ridiculous.
I'm going to be ridiculous.
Nobody is going to go to the wall for this. That is ridiculous. Michigan didn't do anything.
But the
makes a difference.
That's the paranoia.
If you think they're going to self-flagellate themselves after best chance for a national championship in 25 years, you are crazy.
I don't think you're understanding me. We're agreeing, man.
No, stop. Craig, stop. I know you're going to do your ERO stuff. I'm not hearing it. They are not going to just lay down and let them get banned from the postseason for this garbage.
I didn't say that's what the remedy would be. I don't know what the NCAA will go to. And at this point, a part of it may connect to who knew? Is this a complete Connor Stallions frolic and detour? In which case, I would tend to agree. Then it's probably nominal. If they've got something that shows other coaches were somehow involved, knew about it, and took advantage of it, even if they didn't directly participate, and I think it's possible there'd be more problems. Do I think
they can make that nexus, we would have seen it.
Yeah,
probably.
We've seen so far is just the implications. Just implication after implication. And it's clear that Connor Stallions is the kind of guy who would go do this on himself, on his own.
I believe because that.
He has a 600-page manifesto, probably the first page of which says, it's okay if you buy everything in your own name.
Yeah.
Because he's an idiot.
Yeah. Well, there's no dispute on this.
Let's keep reiterating. Had designs on taking over Michigan football. Like, who thinks like that?
An idiot. and you know, the reason that I don't think that this really caught the eye of anybody else on the staff is that the sign stealing probably wasn't very efficacious. Like, there were probably some moments where he came up with something and that was a reason that he got hired in the first place. But, you know, we're not going to see Michigan fall off dramatically now that Connor Stallions isn't on the sideline.
Didn't this week.
Well, and it's not going to happen because football is about blocking and tackling. And the way Michigan was playing was not the way a team that steals signs plays. I've charted games like that. I've charted games against Northwestern where I thought it was pretty clear that they knew what Michigan was running. And I wasn't mad about it, except I was mad about how Michigan let it happen.
Right. If we just talk about the impact of this, you raised a great point. We're talking about Ohio State at the end of the day because Michigan was beating every other team before Connor Stallions supposedly had this role. And there were some embellishments about what he was doing. It's like, oh my God, there's so many embellishments in this text messaging. According to what I'm hearing, it makes it seem even more plausible that this is something this dude was doing on his own. But assuming for the sake of our argument that he had the key, right? Ohio State, they told you in the unnamed quote, but it came from inside the Woody Hayes Center, that we know Michigan is doing this, so we're changing things up.
I know.
And they got beaten worse as a result. Whatever it was they were doing, whatever intel or counterintelligence they had, it was effective in getting them beaten worse. So
yeah.
What are we talking about?
What are we talking about? Do we think that Michigan knew that Cornelius Johnson was going to be singled up against a third string safety, that there was not going to be a deep safety on that play? No, someone busted. And Lathan Ransom busted on Colson Level, and he busted on Donovan Edwards. Lathan Ransom had the worst game a safety could ever have against Michigan, and that had nothing to do with the play calls. It had everything to do with Michigan being more consistent, more efficient, and a better football team, which has been the case for the past 2 years. And people on Ohio State Twitter are watching these last two games and showing the fact that Stallions was next to the defensive coordinator, which is, he's the sign guy. Like, that's like, where else would he be standing? And that's perfectly legal. And then, you know, the shape of that game is like Michigan had a lot of trouble early in that game, right?
Right.
So whatever adjustments they had to make, they made. And if they got signs by halftime or whatever, that's perfectly legal because they're on the sidelines and they're looking at what they're doing. So it's actually been kind of funny to watch the Ohio State people be like, oh, this is why we got beat. There's no sign stealing regime in the history of football that's worth three touchdowns. That doesn't happen. Especially when you yourself admitted that you changed them up. I mean, they kind of put themselves in a bad situation because it's like, if you don't change up your signs, you look like an idiot. But if you say you changed up your signs, we're like, what are we talking about?
You look a bigger idiot.
Like, I wonder if the guy talking to Dellinger was like, oh God, I've really painted myself into a corner here. No, we definitely changed it up. We're not idiots. We're not idiots.
I just don't see Michigan as the style of this athletic department filing a lawsuit against the NCAA.
They absolutely will if they try to find a judge in this state who's a Michigan grad who will provide an injunction against postseason ban.
There's plenty of them locally.
I absolutely 100% agree with that. If the NCAA came down, because understand a timeline of things, even if this winds up being a violation, Michigan hasn't even received a notice of allegations yet. I mean, there's a timeline to this process that does not have it concluding with a punishment before the end of the season. So, I mean, they would have to really circumvent.
End of the bowl season.
End of the bowl season, right. They would have to really, really go outside, even for them, go above and out and beyond what their normal timeline is in order to exact some punishment. That would be pretty punitive in a way that we haven't seen. And targeted. I know they're targeting Michigan, but this would be so blatant that even the biased people would say, damn, you're working extra hard to go get Michigan in a way even beyond we thought you were by going hard in the paint on sign stealing in the first place. I just don't see it happening, Craig. And if it does, there is no way Michigan allows that. I mean, you would have a player revolt. I think you'd have a player mutiny. I think you'd have a coaching mutiny not to fight that.
I think it's unlikely that anything will happen this year because there's no notice yet. I think Michigan has 90 days to respond to the notice.
Correct.
So I don't see how under their own rules that there could be anything this year. But what, you know, the long-term or midterm implications remain unclear to me, at least. Now, I have concerns that there may be criminal violations by this firm or whoever got information to this firm might.
I don't think that's the case.
Yeah,
I know you said that. You're probably right.
The Google Drive story makes too much sense. And if you're a private investigator, the one thing you know how to do is not break the law in the middle of doing it. Now, this isn't like 1930s gumshoes.
So let's seize upon that point that you guys are making. Because the story makes it sound like it implies to your point, Brian, that it's like it's a drive. It's a cloud drive or whatever that is an office drive. Like it's an internal drive. Right. That's how they make it sound, right? But if it's a Google Drive, it's like, man, you would think they would have that information and you would include it, right?
Well, you would if you weren't orchestrating a PR campaign against the University of Michigan. And so what happened is the firm that Ohio State hired to leak all this stuff out is giving reporters verifiable information, but they are withholding exculpatory details. And we're going to find this out when the notice of allegations comes out and all this plays out. It's going to be just like Stretchgate. So when Stretchgate happened, Michael Rosenberg asserted that Michigan was violating their number of countable hours by a factor of 3. That was obviously implausible. And there's a lot of obviously implausible things that are being batted about right now that have not actually been alleged yet. So well done, firm. You've got one up on Michael Rosenberg. But these things always sound worse when they come out because they are like a reporter wants clicks, right? Like Pete Thamel's whole job is to do this stuff, get leaks from Ohio State and the NCAA and get clicks. So of course he's going to make it sound like this is the worst thing that's ever happened in football when it's not. And what you can see is across the country, former players, former coaches, current coaches, literally everyone who is not directly connected with Penn State, Michigan State, or Ohio State says this is nothing. This does not give you a major advantage. This is incidental. And since it's not going to go any higher up the chain than Connor Stallions, it would be completely unprecedented for the NCAA to do much of anything other than give Connor Stallions a show cause, fine Michigan, and maybe there's going to be probation. Nowadays, like the head coach is presumed to know everything, so that could be the thing that gets you in trouble. The worst thing that happens is Jim Harbaugh's already served a 3-game suspension this year. They could look at him as a repeat offender. And if there is a NCAA apparatchik who's out to get Jim Harbaugh, they could put a show cause on Jim Harbaugh, which would probably cause him to move to the NFL. I still think that's dubious. Nothing else is going to happen.
Yeah, I don't know, but there apparently is an NCAA apparatchik who is after Jim Harbaugh.
I can't speak to any of that.
I mean, there's certainly
no, but people put the name out there, and like I took the thing down from the message board because it's, you know, people want a bad guy in these situations. They want someone they can look at and be like, that's the bad guy, right? And obviously, the bad guy is Ohio State because they couldn't stand getting the brakes beaten off them by Michigan, so they hired a private investigator to go find out what they could, and then this is what they could find out. That's the story is about here. All right. The things we don't know is the NCAA is not a functioning organization. They are not someone who you cannot predict how an organization like that will act. That is why schools have been using the legal system to keep them in check. Michigan should be prepared for that. I imagine that they're already having those conversations. But as Brian said, this is not a huge deal. I spent the week talking to coaches, and I asked them, what could you possibly get out of sign stealing? What am I missing here? And they're like, most of the coaches I talked to said that like a lot of them are high school guys, so it works a little different for them, but they don't want to know that much. They don't want – it's not like find me the perfect play that's going to like beat their perfect play. Tell me run pass. That's what I want to know because then my linebackers can react correctly. That's all. That's all they want to know. And, you know, was Michigan able to do that against Ohio State? Probably, because Ohio State is one of the easiest teams in the country to scout whether they're going to run or pass.
Yeah, there's that 4th-and-2 against Penn State where they threw a wide receiver screen and Penn State ate it alive. And I was like, well, must have stolen that side. Like, yeah. Who could possibly predict that Ryan Day would call a soft bat short yardage play? It's completely unprecedented.
Yeah, and James Franklin's the other one who was on there. Like, they asked him about signs. He's like, well, you know, one time they went cover 2 against me, and I'm just like, dude, this does not explain why you're so bad at your job.
This does not explain why you've gotten blown out every time you come to Ann Arbor. And the only win you have in Ann Arbor is the COVID year. Other than that, you get destroyed. Like the first year, what was it, 14? I think it was like a close game to Michigan won, but 16, oh, the 18.
But the 14 game, he lost to Brady Hoke in like a competition of who could coach worse.
Like, but after that you get curb stomped. Like, there is no sign stealing that makes up for the amount of overcoach or outcoaching that happened in those games that when you look back at it, you can look back at it and say, well, James Franklin, he would have won if Michigan just didn't have that side. Stop it. He's the last one that should be talking. Same thing with Michigan State after the game. Well, we had to change things up because we know that Michigan stopped 49-0.
Well,
you really had to change things up.
Also, they had like a couple of drives with their performative, like we're going to hit the signs from by going to the sideline. And then you know what they did? They quit doing it.
You know how this goes. The way that this typically goes is if you feel like a team has gotten you 1 year, James. So let's say for the sake of argument, you feel like a team has gotten you. You know what you do? Come back and do. You come back and do what Michigan did after they felt like Ohio State had, you know, Don Brown just dead to rights, which seems plausible, right? Don Brown, Ryan Day, they worked together. Don was signaling plays. Didn't have a lot of variety of defense. Seems like they might be on to some of the things he's doing. Instead of crying about it, they go back and they said, okay, you know what? We are going to change up, at least for Ohio State, how we do things, how we practice. You know, as far as signs go, we're going to have a different way of going about it with Ohio State. That's what you do. That's how you respond, Ohio State and Ryan Day. Of course, it's easier, though, to think whenever something goes wrong, whenever someone thwarts my brilliance, they got to be cheating. Clemson, Georgia, Michigan. That's Ryan Day's take, right? They got to be cheating if they're getting me. Well, that doesn't explain, like what you said, Brian. You look back at last year's game. So Michigan just waited until halftime to start using all this intelligence? is that what we're supposed to believe, that this worked? Because if they figured you out during the game, then what are we talking about? What are we talking about here? So I think as we let this thing play out, we got to be a little more calm than I see a lot of Michigan fans being, because we aren't used to seeing the sausage. We aren't used to seeing every step of the investigative process to where they are still finding out what's credible and what's not. We wait and we see it at the end where they vetted different things and you don't see the things that they found not to be credible. That's not the case here. You're seeing everything that allegedly supposedly happened, and now they're looking into it to see what's true and what's not.
Well, I don't trust the NCAA, and I don't trust the Michigan Athletic Department to respond to the NCAA in a particularly effective way. So we'll see. I'm a little more less sanguine than you guys, because
but
I don't
Ryan's
trust.
Ryan's point is right. I mean, there's really not a choice here, Craig. I think that's his point. Like, you, if the NCAA comes in and acts like this is, you know, Will Wade or Bill Self or Sean Miller, if they come in and act like this is that, there will be a lawsuit.
Well, I hope you're right.
And there none of those teams got postseason bans. So you're going to have to go against the entire history of the NCAA for that to happen. Now, there's, you know, these articles are often being like, well, the Big Ten could step in. The Big Ten is not going to throw away their best chance for a national championship in a decade. Like, that's just not going to happen. Like, you're going to have some schools, three schools, that are probably going to be like, let's do something. And then the rest of them are going to be like, pass. Because nobody likes Ohio State either.
All right. Can we get into it all? This is the real unprecedented thing. Can you hire a PI to go investigate your rival?
Let's follow every Ohio State player and every strip club they go into and see what happens.
Let's look into their assigned Steelers to see how their
Steelers nothing, Sam. You know what matters in football? Players. Let's go look at whether or not anybody is using NIL's inducements, because that's illegal in the NCAA.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, if you want to play these games, I mean, that's what matters in this game.
You're asking the NCAA to do something.
So that's the point. The NCAA is not going to do anything unless you hand them a report from your private eye. So
they're still not going to do anything.
So let's see what happens.
The fundamental rule of the last 20 years of the NCAA is they don't do anything.
Yeah.
They don't do anything.
Yeah. Well, I'm speaking more to the loser behavior. And I can we not just like focus on this for a second? Ohio State is getting beat so bad. They're getting beat so bad that they don't think they can do it any other way than hiring a private eye and having him go and investigate Michigan and then coordinate a media campaign where every single day there's going to be some new piece. And they didn't even look at the rule book. If they looked at the rule book, they would have seen that one of the rules they're talking about only applies in the middle of games. It's like the same thing as saying, like, okay, well, we caught a center wearing a shirt that didn't have a number 50 to 80 to 79 on it. Like, they don't even understand the rules they're talking about. They put it all together, they package it up, and they send it along. And the journalists should have known exactly what was going on, too. And how do you not say where this came from? Because I'm, you know, we're in the information business, right? We're the people trying to tell people what's going on, and we're trying to be as honest as possible. If someone gives me information, I'm going to say, where did this come from? And my readers are going to want to know where this came from. How do you publish these stories, Pete Thamel, without saying who gave it to you?
Definitely,
fair point.
Definitely colors, or at least represented as a biased perspective. You don't want to name them. I mean, it, to me, it's pretty obvious. It's pretty clear. But for the folks who are not interested in the details, they're only frothing at the mouth because it's Michigan. You need to alert those people as to how premature it might be to be frothing so much, because this is coming from a place, primarily from a place who has something to gain, something very clearly to gain from the pursuit of this storyline, of this narrative, as if it's the worst thing that has ever happened in college football or somewhere close to it. And it's just not. We're talking about practice, man, not a game. I'm talking about practice, man. We got to get to a break. More MGO Blog Roundtable on the other side here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTK, the ticket.
I heard something, I don't know if it's true, that the NCAA is meeting with the Michigan Athletic Department today on this.
The NCAA cancels all the time. That was a rumor, yeah.
That was a rumor. So is that not true? That isn't going to happen?
I don't know.
I've read it in at least two spots.
Yeah, I know there was some furtherance of the investigation here in town yesterday where they yesterday. You know, some materials had to be turned over. But beyond that, I haven't heard of a meeting that is scheduled to take place today. Because, I mean, if there were, I think they'd welcome it.
Yeah, Michigan would probably like it.
Every time I reach out to someone for information, it's like, man, they haven't given us anything. Like, we haven't gotten no details of the investigation, nothing that says we're expecting this today or so-and-so is saying this. You don't know who your accuser is. You don't know when you were supposed to have used it. You don't know what they're saying as far as how it impacted you when it was applied.
Yeah.
None of that stuff has come forth. So, I think they want there to be. So they can finally get some details. There are none right now. At least in the Ann Arbor sense, there are no details.
I mean, it does seem like the coaches are mystified.
Mystified.
I mean, I would say that's what it feels like, at least.
That's what it is.
And which makes me feel that this was pretty much a Connor Stallions deal. And
Think about it. So his – after the super fandom era is over and he becomes this volunteer that's coming around, he's coming around because he's watched TV and he's gotten signs off of TV. Yeah. So now when he comes in the program, you know, so after 2020, you got to understand how the Exos program is profound. You can go in there right now and you can look at every Ohio State. I can look at any game I want to going back 4 years for any team. Mm-hmm. I can pull up every. So the sleuthing process is a whole lot easier than sitting up and watching the TV and fast forwarding through commercials. The games are already cut. You can clip play to play. And even though you don't get the sideline every single play, right, you can sit and watch a whole game. If you get 10 sideline shots one game, 10 sideline shots another game, now you got access to all that. Why would you think that he's doing more than that? He goes from TV. Getting it from the TV copy is like, you know, 4x3 standard def. And now he's 16x9 HD once he gets the coach's copy. Why would you think he's doing more than that? I'm not saying if they didn't catch it, I'm not saying that it's okay. But I can see why you wouldn't think to look if whether or not he's going to games to get more intel. I can see how that happens.
I can tell you how organizations are supposed to handle this kind of thing, because when there is a mandatory reporting or a mandatory knowledge by the CEO, the way they handle it is there's training and there's documentation. So you say, okay, every employee has to go through training on the rules. And when we do that, we're going to have a little training video or whatever thing. Go online. It's probably standardized. And then there's documents. So every once in a while, you get an email in your inbox that says, you know, please go over the rules and reply to me that you read these. That's how these organizations handle it. If Michigan has been doing that, I don't know if they have. This program seems not to be as organized as most. But if someone before this decided to start doing that because it's a smart thing to do and because there's a lot of regulation around them, that's the kind of thing that might alleviate some of the concern about Harbaugh. That's really the only question, because as Brian mentioned, there's been a change in the standard of whether the coach is responsible for everything that goes on his program, even if people were taking pains to keep it away from him knowing about it. And the way you can respond to that is say, we took pains to try to like make sure people knew not to do that stuff.
Yeah. Back on radio in 5, 4, 3.
We are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050 WTKA online at WTK.com. So, fellas, real quick, and we're here with the MGO Blog Roundtable crew. So did Ohio State have Penn State signs and vice versa in that game? Because it was an exercise in offensive utility other than passes to Marvin Harrison. Other than he looked terrible.
Well, I think that's what everybody pretty much expected going into the game, like a rock fight. mean, it depends on like who's going to perform, Drew Aller or Marvin Harrison. And it was definitely not Drew Aller. It was striking. So Ohio State's really cut down on their number of big plays given up because they don't go zero very much anymore, but they went zero against Penn State because they were just not afraid of anybody on that team.
Well, and did you see the time they went zero and he missed a touchdown, a near touchdown, because Aller tries to loft the ball over a free defender and he completely whiffs. You can see the receiver running the slant, like, damn it, if you just get this ball on me. Yeah, and I was watching it with Devin. He was like, man, if he just pumps that guy, it opens the window and it's six or close to it. It's going to be a foot race. And he was missing passes all day long. Like, that's not J.J. They're talking like this is a revelation about Jim Knowles. Like, see, this is a sign that Jim Knowles, he just needed a year to get it together. That you don't see that in that game. You see Drew Aller missing opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. What that game showed you is that Aller's just not ready for prime time.
Well, no, and neither is that offensive line. Even with that, like, they gave their two running backs a total of 18 carries so they could have Aller throw 41 times in a game that wasn't a two-score game until very late. So the whole game plan there was baffling on Penn State's part, which I guess can't be a big surprise because this is what James Franklin does basically every year. You know, from an Ohio State perspective, though, like, you put up 20 points against that team and you're fortunate, very fortunate, not to have your touchdown drive ended by a scoop and score because of a debatable, probably correct, but often uncalled holding on Harrison. You know, they have some problems. They can't run the ball at all. Their running backs combined for about 2 yards a carry in this game. And Penn State's a good defense, but they're not any better than Michigan. And so their whole game plan was just like, let's get it to Marvin Harrison and hope that works. And it was enough in this game. But is it going to be enough in a game where the opposing offense puts up more than 6 points? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, Michigan looked better or has looked better over the course of the season than either Penn State or Ohio State. I mean, I think the Ohio State defense has improved some. Penn State has a pretty good defense. But except for Marvin Harrison, neither offense looks particularly dynamic. And
I think the defense has improved in not being reckless.
Jim
Knowles was reckless last year. That's what changed. Well, that was
his,
right.
I mean, he changed his defense for Michigan last year. He misunderstood the assignment. He came in thinking that Ohio State's hiring him to come up with the most brilliant defense just to beat Michigan, and then he saved it to play against Michigan. They didn't play much zero last year at all until that game. They were playing cover two all year, right?
Well, also, I think that some of their zeros were just busts. Right. Like that, the Johnson touchdown, there is no way in hell that wasn't supposed to have a deep middle safety. There's just no way. So, you know, the pressure got to them, I think, a little bit in that game, and they haven't had a whole lot of pressure put on them this season.
I think watching that game, we realize why they're so shook and so scared. Like, they know. Ohio State knows. Like, J.J. McCarthy is a different animal than they faced this year, period. Like, the dude, this is the part we didn't get into in talking about the Michigan State game, unfortunately. I know Michigan State's bad. But the plays that dude made, like, it's not even about the opponent. When the rush is bearing down on you, you juke one dude in the hole, you scramble up the field, and then juke the second dude, and then you're out the gate. Like, that's different, man. I don't give a damn who you're playing. You're doing that, you're playing the game on a different level than the other guys, and that's J.J. McCarthy right now, and they know it. They know you couldn't stop him from running it down your throat. Then when you sold out to try to stop him from running down your throat, thought the quarterback couldn't beat you. That happened. Now what are you going to do? They know. Well,
he should have thrown it to Edwards on that play.
No, I broke down the play. It was because they ran the same play for two touchdowns. Because the one where he jukes the guy in the hole and then rolls out and hits Roman Wilson. Roman Wilson's matched on a linebacker. J.J. sees that before the snap. Then he's got a guy in his face because we don't pick up a looper. But he still knew he had that matchup, and I think that's why he was looking downfield for it. And the second time, the cornerback was still trying to drop out because the way that they're playing their banjo defense. But like the cornerback's still in the drop route, but he has Colson Loveland in the same exact matchup. So they're making the third receiver gets a linebacker. And as soon as you see that look, you know that your third receiver has a one-on-one with a linebacker. And the second time, it was just like, boop, right? He's like, I got Colson Loveland. They've got, you know, what's his name again? 27.
Kel Halladay.
And his eyes just light up. That's just a, I'm seeing a matchup and I'm going to throw at it kind of play. And that is brilliant. That's awesome. That's the thing that Michigan has not been doing for years, because they just didn't have the guy. They didn't have those matchups where they had such a win when you put a guy against a guy. And now they have that all over the field.
Well, I mean, to me, the McCarthy thing that really stood out from this game was actually the first touchdown to Loveland, where it's a seam route and Loveland sort of extends the sideline as the guy's hips are turned inside. And it feels like JJ knows that this guy is going to have to flip his hips all the way around and he's going to get the ball in there before that guy can even react. And that's exactly what he does. The way he is seeing the field is something I don't know if I've charted for a Michigan quarterback so far.
Well, I mean, I don't think that Harbaugh was exaggerating when he called JJ potentially the best quarterback, you know, in the history of Michigan. Now, I don't buy that exactly, but I'm pretty close to it. And the
you don't buy what? What don't you buy?
The greatest JJ, history, the greatest quarterback in the history of the University of Michigan.
Yeah.
I mean, are you counting Tom Harmon? Because I like.
Well, no, he wasn't really a quarterback. He threw the ball some.
Well, he was the halfback was quarterback back then. But yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I guess the only person I could, you know, put in there would be Benny Friedman, but that's for historical reasons. The fact that he saved the NFL. Without Benny Friedman, the NFL perhaps folds in 1930. But really, I think that Harbaugh wasn't exaggerating with that. And compared to that, you've got Drew Aller, who looks like at this point doesn't have a particularly great arm, at least. And you got McCord, who looks like okay-ish, but he's not playing at anywhere near the level that J.J. McCarthy's playing. So right now, to me, you look at those teams, and Michigan is the best of those three teams.
Yeah, the separation quarterback-wise is greater than I've seen.
Yeah.
It's just a different caliber altogether. And so if you're boasting like the Buckeyes are, those who are boasting are the unknowledgeable people. The ones who know, Ryan Day and crew, that's why you see a firm being hired to investigate Michigan. That's why you see seeing a lot being made of sign stealing. When every team steals signs, Ohio State, you know, I talked about one guy. I see his name making the rounds. They have another guy that is suspected. They have two guys suspected to be in sign stealers. I'm not calling it out as being illegal, but I'm saying, hey, man, it's not like they don't do it too. They just don't do it as effectively. It doesn't affect their fortunes as effectively as they seem to be trying to make people think it does. Michigan, it does not account for being beaten that bad on your home field. That is coaching ineptitude.
Hire a PI, Sam. You want to prove it, go hire a PI.
I mean, but you're hiring a PI to discover something that not only is not legal, something that's encouraged by the NCAA, that is not illegal, something that's encouraged by the NCAA, something that might have limited
impact.
They're
not doing it because they encourage it. They do it because they're cheap. The NCAA is cheap. It's a rule for teams that are cheap. They want to spend as little money as possible, and headsets.
I don't even think that's. Yeah. I don't think that's the case because high schools have these things, like the reason that there hasn't been a critical mass for technology and helmets is that coaches like stealing signals.
Yes, they do.
Right. they think it's in their job description.
There are literally articles about this written by Bruce Feldman. Was like, yeah, the reason that this happens is because coaches don't want to get rid of this. They want it to be part of the game. And Michigan, I mean, I'm not going to say Michigan. Connor Stallions went too far. Mm-hmm. And he's going to reap the whirlwind. But, you know, to say that this gave Michigan a major competitive advantage is silly. It is silly.
It gave Michigan the same advantage that other teams. It might give you a few plays a game. If you get a handful of plays per game from your sign-stealing operation, that's pretty good. Like, you're like,
well, okay. But Michigan was going to have a large majority of those plays without the excesses that Stallions
committed. I'm with you. I'm not disagreeing.
And knowing the play doesn't really help you. I mean, the Ohio State fans keep retweeting the video of their touchdown at the end of their first drive last year, because like they see Michigan's sideline, all watching their sideline, and then I'll put up the number one, which by the way is probably just telling, you know, they have a number one, like they're, you know, which play
you
we're
know
running.
Why?
Yeah, that's
Ohio
our check.
Here, yeah, I'm gonna give you my theory on why Ohio State was effective coming out of the gate. Because Ryan Day didn't come up with that script. That's why, in my opinion. That was an Urban Meyer script all the way, in my opinion. And after he ran off the script, he reverted back to who he is. And that's a finesse football coach. And that seemed to make them do worse. Now, hey, you know, they're trying to get tougher, trying to have a tougher scheme, thinking that's going to resolve the issue. Problem is their team this year isn't as good. Their quarterback play isn't as good. Their offensive line play isn't as good. Well, yeah. What did you call him?
The fans want you to remember the nickname from Monday. Rhonda McCord.
Right. So listen, man, I mentioned the dude that, you know, the folks around here suspect they got their guy was Brent Zadepsky. That's the guy that old boy, Jim Knowles brought with him from Oklahoma State. People around here suspect he's a sign stealer. They also suspect Sam McGrath. Another dude down there suspect he's a sign stealer. We can just talk about who's suspected, right? We don't have to say what they're actually doing to get these signs. We just suspect
everyone,
that they're doing
something. Everyone in football knows each other's sign stealers because it's the guy standing next to the coach. It's the low-level staffer sitting next to the coach. That's everyone's sign stealer. It's not hard.
Not saying it's illegal, just saying they do it.
Yeah.
It's certainly a part of what they do. Now, it seems to bear some scrutiny. How are they doing it? Like, what are they going to any extra links to do it over there? If I'm Penn State, looking at that, you're a pretty terrible Penn State. Maybe they were stealing your side, because that's what we got to do when you get beaten back, when you look terrible. And we must look terrible because they just stole our sides. Of course, everyone doesn't think like Ryan Day, because everyone's not as brilliant as Ryan Day. Like, that's the only way his brilliance can be diminished, is if someone cheats. I got it. I'm picking it up. All right, folks. We got to get out of here. Ira's giving me the wrap-up sign. Someone asked in the stream, Ira, is there a classic this week? Is there a U for Classic this week?
No.
No U for Classic this week. So there you go. There's your answer on that. Enjoy the college football weekend if you can. Take a breath. This is the investigative process that normally you don't see. We don't know how many of these accusations are credible. Let's see some proof before we go assuming truth. We'll get out of here. We'll see you next week here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTK, The Ticket, the official voice of University of Michigan Sports Ann Arbor Accumulus Station.